Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food apocalypse, GMOs, when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Now, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history, in 1880, in America, as an independent press. Now you know it and I know it, he said. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Pretty powerful statement. But you know, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, this New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free, and you can call one and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And order your free package. And again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about food apocalypse, GMOs, a little booklet about 125 pages. And written by a guy by the name of Greg Sciola. Greg Sciola. Now, we've covered a number of neat topics in here. Always remember, I can only hit the high points. You know, I'm hitting some of the highest of the high points. So that you can buy a copy of the book, and then you can get all the facts and figures yourself. But there's a chapter in here that deals with Frankenstein returns. The cross-species gene experiments are now widespread. Now, horror movies have always been a popular genre for the Hollywood movie industry. You give a horror flick a good title, bombard the public with a blood-curdling trailer, and the chances are pretty darn good that the theater seats will constantly fill up. Now, unfortunately, there's a new horror flick out today, but it's not playing in your local movie house. It's For want of a better title, then we'll call it The Genetic Time Bomb. And I assure you that this movie is more terrifying and more dangerous than anything that you've ever seen on the silver screen. So as I sit to write this book, some of the most unimaginable experiments are currently taking place in the laboratories of biotech companies worldwide. In China, they're putting human genes into tomatoes and peppers to make them grow more quickly. In Canada, geneticists are putting human genes into fish to speed growth as well. Now, several companies are racing each other to place human genes into pigs so as to genetically match organs for human transplantation. Now, in Australia, they're utilizing genes from human growth hormone to produce more milk in cows. Several companies in the United States have experimented with adding human genes to chickens in order to produce higher yielding and better quality meat. Now, while none of these products are currently approved for sale, at least not yet, the fact that widespread studies are being conducted with genes across the species barrier should be rather alarming to anyone with a belief in God as our creator. While biotech firms are reluctant to admit to the possible approval of crops modified with human genes, they're not so hesitant about admitting to cross-species gene splicing experiments performed in their labs. Now, here are just a few of the hundreds of stories to demonstrate how out of control this technology has become. Two firms are seeking a patent for a process that produces a human-pig hybrid embryo. Even though the researchers denied that the embryos were a hybrid, they did admit that pig cells were infused with human DNA and allowed to grow into 32 cells over a period of a week. Scientists at the Massachusetts-based biotech company called Advanced Cell Technology announced that they had fused human cells into cow's eggs and let them grow as an embryo for a few days. AMRAD, an Australian company, is said to have taken out a European patent in 1999 on its technology, which could lead to the creation of mixed species embryos or human-animal hybrids. The patent covers the creation of embryos containing cells from humans, mice, sheep, pigs, cattle, goats, and fish. Reuters reported in February of 2001 a story that U.S. researchers have produced laboratory mice with human brain cells. And according to one of the professors involved in the project, the next step would be to produce mice with brains made up almost entirely of human cells. Now, do you remember this prophecy in the scripture? You remember back in Genesis 11, verse 6, where God said, "And now nothing will be restrained from them." There are good scientists and bad scientists. We've always thought of the bad scientists as being the communists, you know, over in Russia. Are you really sure that all of the bad scientists are in Russia or China or in Iraq or North Korea? Could it be that maybe we've got one or two here in Australia, in Canada, the United States, Europe? Now, you talk about Frankenstein. You talk about experimentation on a Frankenstein level. This is it. And the ultimate end to this is in Matthew 24:22, where the Messiah himself said that, you know, unless I step in and put an end to this, no flesh will be saved alive on planet Earth. This messing with the genome, this messing with kind reproduces after kind. In an experiment in the laboratory, there was a story, it was a movie called The Andromeda Strain. And it was a story about this strain of a terrible disease that gets out of control. And it threatens to escape the laboratory. Boys and girls, this technology has been out of the laboratory since the early 1990s. It is out in the world. It is out in the dust, the pollen from the plants that are being grown by the tens of thousands of acres all over the world. This genie is already out of the jar, and there's no going back. Now, I always tell my students about the Titanic story. And I start off and I say, have you ever seen the movie Titanic? And have you ever read the book on the Titanic? And nearly everybody has. It's one of those exciting movies. It's a movie that you can actually get into. It's a movie where you see yourself, you know, in your mind's eye as you're watching this. What would I do if I had been on that ship that night? Would I have been one of the survivors, 800, or one of the victims, 1,500? And, you know, you kind of sit there and wonder, you know, as you watch these people in their everyday, well, you know, walks of life. You know, and they're making pretty logical decisions. After all, they're following the instructions of the people on the ship. But now that you've seen the movie, now that you've read the book, and you know the outcome, if I came to you 2 days before the Titanic hits the iceberg, and I say to you, you know, we're down in the A-deck lounge, and we're having a couple of martinis, you know, and I say, listen, I had a dream last night. And I think this dream is a prophetic dream that comes from God. And in the dream, the ship hits an iceberg, and it sinks in 2 hours and 20 minutes and kills 1,500 people. Lifeboat 6 will be the first lifeboat off, and it'll have a mixed cargo or a mixed group of passengers, men and women. After Lifeboat 6, only women and children will be allowed into the lifeboats. You and I are both men. Now, after I tell you this story, you would probably look at me and say, you know, that was quite a dream you had there, Gordon. In the Bible, people like Daniel had dreams. I mean, you know, it's common for God to communicate with people through dreams. I'm not claiming that God now, you know, talks to me through dreams, because I'm pretty low down on the totem pole. He doesn't talk to me at all. But I just wanted to point out that it's happened in the past, and it's not too far-fetched to believe that it could happen again. And in Hebrews 13, verse 2, it talks about entertaining strangers, and some of us have entertained angels. Totally unaware. Just some strange guy, you know, walks up to you, and the guy's actually an angel, but you didn't know that. So, let's assume for the sake of our discussion here that you're listening to me and you say, well, what are we going to do? And I would say, well, number one, since we've already left Ireland, nor better yet, maybe we could get back here. If I had this dream before we got on the ship, you know, down in Liverpool, I could say, let's take another ship. Let's not get on the Titanic. Let's let it go by itself. If we were on the ship, we could get off over in France, or we could get off in Ireland. If we fail to get off in either France or Ireland, then the next stop is the bottom of the ocean. So let's pretend now that we're on the ship, and then we've already left Ireland. I have the dream. I tell you what my dream is, and you and I are both pretty sure that this is a possibility. We want to avoid this. Well, then our common sense says, all right, now we know that Lifeboat 6 gets off with 28 people on it, men and women. It's the first boat off. So on the fateful night of April the 14th, we want to be standing up on the boat deck and right in front of Lifeboat 6, don't we? I mean, just to be on the safe side. Now, let's suppose for the sake of our discussion here that we don't make Lifeboat 6. You know, shouldn't we have a backup plan? Just you and me. We're going to have a backup plan. Let's lash a bunch of deck chairs together on the night of the 14th up near the bow. Because remember, we saw the movie. We know the ship sinks by the bow, don't we? So let's go ahead and do that, and we'll lash the deck chairs together, and they're wood, and so we'll make ourselves a little raft. All right, so now, sure enough, the ship hits the ice. And now, after some time goes by, an hour, the bow is down close to the water. Now, the people that are on the ship are walking toward the back of the ship by now. Remember how the big panic got to where the people were fleeing toward the stern of the ship. Now, where do we want to go? See, we need to get up to the bow where our lifeboat is, assuming we didn't get on lifeboat 6. Our life raft, our deck chairs lashed together up there in the bow. And so here's you and I, and we're saying, pardon me, excuse me, let me through, please. Excuse me, pardon me, let me through, please. And these people, by the hundreds now, are fleeing to the stern of the ship. And we're trying to go forward, and all these people are trying to go to the back of the ship. Don't you think somebody's going to say, you fool, the bow is underwater. Flee for your life to the stern. Now, you know, for all these other 1,500 people on board the Titanic, that makes all the sense in the world. That's very logical. Ship is sinking by the bow. Stern is rising higher in the water. And so, obviously, we would want to flee to the stern. Okay. But you and I, we got our life raft. We've got our deck chairs up in the bow. And we need to go forward. Is this the time then to say, stop, stop. We have a life raft in the bow. Follow us. Hey, boys and girls, I don't think this is the time that we want to be talking about life rafts of 1,500 people over here that are all desperate. 1,500 desperate souls. Now, this is the time when we want to keep our mouths shut. Now, there's going to come a time here when it'll be necessary for you to keep your mouths shut about what your plans are to survive GMOs. Now, right now, there's plenty of food available, and there's everybody's, living their lives and doing their things, and there's no great siege. But remember a little earlier in the program here, I think it was in segment one of the series, I think I read to you those five or six scriptures out of Deuteronomy 28, when there's going to be a siege, there's going to be a cutoff of food to the United States and Canada and Australia. I know it sounds preposterous because, we've got all the food in the world. There's no famine here in the United States. But there's coming a time when the delicate woman, the Britney Spears among us, who would not set her foot on the ground for delicateness, will hide her baby so that she can eat it herself and she doesn't have to share it with her husband. I use the name Britney Spears not because I know her personally or anything, but she's just the epitome of one of these Hollywood starlet types, the type that is described here in Deuteronomy 28 as being so delicate that she wouldn't set her foot on the ground. Well, barefoot. Now, the world's full of people like that, and I just wanted to point out that we're already in the Frankenstein phase of this technology. And, as time progresses along, I guess it's kind of like Noah and the ark. Noah was preparing this ark, and he did it for 120 years. And no doubt people must have been laughing at this guy. Flood. This is the period before we even had rain. These people had never seen a flood before. They didn't know what that was all about. The idea that the Titanic could sink was preposterous. It was absurd. Nobody could even entertain such a preposterous idea. Not until after it happens. It's like the collapse of the economy. There isn't anybody in America that can picture or grasp or envision the collapse of our economy. We've never seen or heard of such a thing. Not very many people alive can remember the Great Depression. I don't. I only remember what the old-timers told me about it as I interviewed them and laid my plans. You know, what are we going to do when this happens again? You know, how do I solve this problem like my Uncle Lyle, my Uncle Buster, and Aunt Bessie did? They solved the problem, and I simply asked them how they did it. Now I know. And so I'm going to follow their example. I'm going to follow their advice. I'm going to follow their plan. All right, now going back here to the New York Times, we're going back here now to the Frankenstein Returns. The cross-species gene experiments now are widespread. The New York Times reported in January of 2001 in a story that scientists in Portland, Oregon have produced a baby monkey with genes from a jellyfish, and the purpose of the experiment was to have the monkey produce a protein that glows under a fluorescent light. And according to Dr. Gerald Shatton, his ultimate goal was to create colonies of monkeys that had been genetically modified to develop a human disease. Then he said he could use the animals to study new treatments for humans with the disease. All right. He's creating a monkey so that he can give the monkey human disease so that he can treat the animal with the human disease so that he can use this to treat people with the disease. Kind of reminds me of the guy that goes to Alaska, digs up the cadaver so that he can get the Spanish flu, take it back to his laboratory and experiment with it. Now you talk about Frankenstein science, boys and girls, it's here, live and direct, in a city near you, right now. Now that Spanish flu I mentioned last time has killed 50 million people at the low end, maybe as many as 100 million people at the end of World War I. Killed more people than the war did, by double, maybe by four times as many. Not quite sure how many people died, but 50 million anyway. That's double the number that died in World War I. And we want to dig up a cadaver so that we can take that god-awful virus into the laboratory so that we can experiment with it. Don't you suppose that somebody in the Army, somebody in the Pentagon said, wow, what a disease that we could unleash upon our enemies in Iran or Al-Qaeda or North Korea or China? Do you suppose that some military guy in the Pentagon has thought about, wow, I wonder if we could use that for germ warfare? Do you suppose maybe some Al-Qaeda guy said, wow, I wonder if we could get a hold of some of that? You suppose maybe some Chinese general or some Chinese military guy said, hey, what an idea. Maybe we could get some of that. Maybe we could dig up some cadavers here in China that have that Spanish flu. Maybe the Americans are using that for a germ warfare. Maybe we better have some of that over here too, so that we can counter the Americans. Has that ever crossed anybody's mind? Cross my mind. And I'm here to tell you that we're not dealing with science, we're dealing with insanity here. These people are just stark raving mad, gone out of their heads. And our Creator is telling us that. He says, now listen, kids, if I don't come back here and put an end to this, there isn't going to be any flesh. There isn't going to be any human beings left alive on the planet. That's what we're dealing with here. The London Daily Telegraph reported on March 29, 2002, that a Georgia biotech company has been able to genetically engineer chicken eggs that contain expensive human drugs. Avagenix announced that they have made an active foreign enzyme in eggs that contains human genes, and they believe that a single hen could produce up to 4 grams of human protein, such as insulin for growth hormone. Now, you know, these guys have a number of causes. They say, well, we're doing it to produce drugs to make you people safe from disease. And then another guy comes on, well, we're doing this so that we can produce more food, so that we can feed the starving people of the world. Another one, he comes along and he says, well, we're doing this because we want to advance science for the future. Another guy, he comes along and says, well, we're doing this because, you know, all of these guys have reasons for doing this. I mean, nobody comes along and says, we're doing this so that we can create exotic new toxins over here for germ warfare. Or we're doing this so that we can reduce the Earth's population by 90%. Or we're doing this over here for just sheer profit. We're doing this for control of the human race. Nobody's telling you what their real motivations are. No, they come along with laudable. You know, this is very, very altruistic. Gee, we're just doing this so that we can come up with insulin, so that we can treat you people better. Diabetes, kids, has a cause. If you avoid the cause, you won't get diabetes. Cancer has a cause. And if you don't engage in the cause, you won't get cancer. It's just that simple. Now, it may be that you don't know what causes diabetes, and you don't know what causes cancer, and that's too bad. That's ignorance. That can be remedied. You know, ignorance can be fixed. This biotechnology insanity cannot be fixed. The genie is already out of the jar. Now we're in survival mode. There will be survivors. And the whole human race is not going to be destroyed. Fortunately, God himself has told us, he said, for the elect's sake, he said, I'm gonna step in, stop this. I don't know just when he's going to step in, stop it. He doesn't talk to me, but he said he's going to do it. So I'm gambling here that probably he'll do it. Here's Gene Watch reported that scientists in Britain are genetically modifying and cloning hundreds of thousands of animals every year. The London paper, The Guardian, picked up the story and reported the following. It says, quote, the great majority of the 582,000 animals genetically altered in Britain in 2000 for medical or agricultural research were mice. But increasingly, sheep, goats, cattle, pigs, rabbits, birds, poultry, and cats are being used. GM experiments and the cloning of animals have increased 800% in the past 10 years and now include attempts in the United States to clone pets of endangered animals. So far, at least 29 human therapeutic proteins have been produced in transgenic animals, most in milk, but some in blood, urine, or sperm. Now, the San Jose Mercury News reported on May 24, 2001, that a handful of biotech companies are genetically engineering plants to produce human proteins. The purpose is to develop medications aimed at treating a host of human diseases, according to the story. Now, 25 years after the birth of the biotechnology industry, there are hundreds of human proteins, many of them antibodies, in various stages of testing for treating disease. But for the moment, there are not enough government-approved manufacturing facilities for the expected flood of biotech drugs. In 1998, Immunex in Seattle launched Embryl, a modified human protein grown in animal cells for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. ABC News Online reported on July 16, 2001, that a Wisconsin dairy farmer wants to sell milk from a herd of 21 cloned cows. Infogen, the biotech company that runs the farm, says its cows are normal and healthy. The milk looks and tastes like any other. The Food and Drug Administration has asked biotech companies to voluntarily refrain from selling animal products derived from clones, but there are no laws in place to prohibit such a practice. In the summer of 2001, Greenpeace reported that open field trials of genetically engineered rice containing human genes were being carried out in the heart of California's traditional rice-growing region. Greenpeace has identified two of the proteins as human lactoferrin and human lysozyme, commonly found in human breast milk, bile, and tears. According to the information submitted by the company, Applied Phytologics Incorporated, API, to the USDA, 8 of 9 compounds produced in its field trial came from humans. The USDA imposes virtually no safety requirements specific to pharmaceutical drug crops. What do you think of that, kids? Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here. Let's see if I can find it. Yep, here we go. mid-course reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, it's a non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. And it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications, or a lot of them, that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book Food Apocalypse, GMOs, Genetically Modified Organisms. They're playing God and shoving it down your throat. It's a biblical response to genetic engineering by Greg Ciola. Greg Ciola, C-I-O-L-A. Now, you can get a copy of the book by going to your website, going to your computer, and go to the website bravenewbookstore.com. That's bravenewbookstore.com. Or you can call them if you want at 512-480-2503. That's a local number there in Austin, Texas. It's 512-480-2503. And the book is $8.95. It's got a price tag right in the back of it. I imagine if you have it shipped to you, you probably have to pay them a couple of bucks to put it in a bag. My guess would be well worth the $10 that it's going to cost you. In fact, I suggest that you buy a case and ask them what the price of a case would be and pass it around to your friends. And there's a neat little program here in the back. I've used it many times myself. If you want to stir up hate and discontent against this kind of process, this kind of pseudoscience, then or Frankenstein science. I guess maybe it's real science. We're not dealing with pseudoscience here. We're dealing with Frankenstein science. And if you're opposed to it, then you know maybe you might want to do something kind of constructive in opposition to it. Give these turkeys a run for their money anyway, and pass it around to 10 of your friends. And then tell your 10 friends to pass it around to 10 of their friends. And then ask those 10 friends to pass it around to 10 of their friends. And pretty soon, like it was with Frontier Airlines, there was a guy came into my class one day, and he said, "You know, Gordon, your campaign against Frontier Airlines is really having some payoff." I don't remember what airport it was, but he walked up to the ticket counter at Frontier Airlines when they were still in business, you know. There's a new one out now called Frontier. It's not the same corporation as this was back in the 80s. But he walks up to the ticket counter and he said, "I would fly on Frontier Airlines, but I don't have any identification." And the ticket agent said, "You know, you're the fourth person today that's come up here and said that." Word of mouth is very powerful advertising. The Washington Post reported in a 2001 story that most or all of the human embryonic stem cell colonies approved for research or research funding under a new Bush administration policy have been mixed in the laboratory with mouse cells. Did you see that? Most or all of the human embryonic stem cell colonies have been mixed with mouse cells. Now, the standard technique for creating human embryonic stem cell lines has been to extract cells from inside a microscopic embryo, then grow them atop embryonic mouse cells known as feeder cells. The latter excrete some unknown nutritional growth factor that helps the human cells stay healthy. Then there's the man-beast hybrid beyond the talking stage. According to a story that appeared in the Edmonton Journal in 2001, melding man and beast may sound like the stuff of science fiction, but it's not. Amid all of the advances in genetic manipulation, the idea of combining the DNA of animal and humans has gone beyond the talking stage, and it's been attempted. The first publicized case of animal-human hybrids took place in 1996 when Jose Cibilli, C-I-B-E-L-L-I, a scientist at the University of Massachusetts, took DNA from his white blood cells by swabbing the inside of his cheek. He then inserted the DNA sample into a hollowed-out cow egg. And then an AP press story on June 1, 2004 stated, biotechnology companies are quietly pushing to splice more human genes into growing numbers of food crops after the practice was nearly left for dead last year in 2003. Now, these stories represent only the tip of the iceberg. There are literally thousands of such experiments going on worldwide with no end in sight. And the very fact that these crazy experiments are occurring indicates to me that in the not-too-distant future, what is taking place among our crops will get even worse unless this out-of-control science is outlawed and stopped dead in its tracks. Now, where will all of this madness end? And can we stuff the genetic genie back into the technological bottle from which we released him? That is most unlikely. Things are not getting better, they're getting worse. And this weird science has the potential to eventually destroy every living organism on planet Earth. I want to underline that. This weird science, says this author, has the potential to eventually destroy every living thing on planet Earth. Now, that's precisely what Jesus of Nazareth said. Just in case you were wondering, I don't care whether you're a Catholic, a Protestant, or a Jew. That's what Jesus said. He said it in Matthew 24:22. Now, there's another real nasty prophecy that Moses gave us in Deuteronomy 28:53-58, in which he said, "We're going to be reduced to cannibalism like we have never seen cannibalism practiced on planet Earth." And I can't ever remember any literature on cannibalism anywhere that ever described anything that those five verses do, or six verses there in Deuteronomy 28. I mean, it just makes the hair stand right up on the back of your neck. Well, it should. Now, today, you know, you've got plenty to eat, and there's no big problem, and you're not suffering from mad cow disease or something else. But with this technology going on, that promise isn't going to last, in my view, isn't going to last too much longer. Now, the following quote from Dr. Mei Wan Ho sums up a great deal regarding the dangers of genetic engineering. He said, "Gene biotechnology is not just about GM food or GM human beings. It is a commitment to an experimental nightmare. It is a descent into a self-made hell on earth." You get that? It's a descent into a self-made hell on earth. Now, there's a story in here. I'm going to skip ahead here a little bit. Page 91. These people use the word science. You know Monsanto? And they talk about science a lot. They use the word science. I mean, you could almost use it in place of God. You know, God has said, we're doing this in the name of God. They use the word science like that. In modern parlance, science has replaced God. That is the old God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it's been totally replaced. And so we call these experiments, you know, science. These are scientific experiments. These are godly experiments. These are experiments done in the name of our God, science. Well, an Iowa farmer went belly up after his pigs became sterile on Starlink corn. Now, the Starlink is genetically modified corn. And here's a farmer, and he's feeding this corn to his pigs. Listen to his story. And he says, "Just as this book was getting ready to go to press in August of 2004, it was brought to my attention that a hog farmer in Iowa was forced to shut his entire farm down after his pigs became sterile from eating Starlink corn. After being financially devastated and then repeatedly lied to and deceived when trying to get answers, Jerry Rossman now spends his time warning other hog farmers about the risks and dangers of biotechnology." Here's Rossman's story, summarized in his own words. He said, "I had been raising and feeding GMO corn since 1997 without any visible problems or side effects to my livestock. In the year 2000, I switched to a different company's genetics called Garst Hybrids Starlink, with no visible signs of problems with plant production or animal performance, at least initially. As the year 2000 wound down, I started to experience a drop-off in farrowing rates of our hogs. The number of sows actually delivering a litter of pigs dropped to 20%, and the rate moved up and down but stayed at these low levels for all of 2001. The actual event that was happening with my sows was determined to be false pregnancy. Other farmers in the community experienced similar events and also reported their males were going sterile. While this was going on, we were performing all of the standard tests looking for the common reproductive disease or diseases or feed-generated toxin culprits. We found none. Then, by chance, I switched corn supplies to holdover supplies from 1999, and our reproduction rate started to return to normal. We had detected an elevated level of fusarium mold in the 2001 and 2002 corn crops. The mold has been eliminated from being a toxin problem to bring a marker of the presence of the problematic agent. The GE trait seems to be producing an estrogen mimicker that is not detectable with today's technology. An endocrine disruptor is another term for it. This is the one thing about the BIO industry that has vigorously, or that the BIO industry has vigorously denied from the get-go, that no unintended side effects would happen from their gene slamming. Through extended media coverage and word of mouth, there's been at least 25 farmers in five Midwestern states that have contacted us with similar experiences using similar genetics. When the biotech and seed companies involved were notified of the problem, their response was to launch an attack on the management skills of the individuals involved. The researchers involved from the start were intimidated to change positions on statements or were outright threatened with job termination. Now, I have suffered a huge economic loss from this issue. Most of the other farmers were able to stay in business with some help from myself and others to correct their problems in a timely fashion before it was too late. I was not that fortunate, and I lost my farming enterprise because of it. Now, currently, I have chosen to keep up the pressure, and with the support of donations from concerned people across the country, we're doing the needed testing. The big thing here is for the need, or is the need, for support to keep this going. Honest research is very expensive. All right, so that's a fellow by the name of Jerry Rossman, who is a very modern, up-to-date, no doubt this young fellow probably went to college. Probably got a degree in agricultural sciences. Probably very, very competent young man. He comes out of college, goes into the hog business. And, of course, he's excited about his God science, and so he goes into the scientific end of agribusiness in a big way. And he uses Starlink corn. Now, this Starlink corn is the same corn that got into the Taco Bell tacos. Remember that story? If you don't, then Taco Bell, inadvertently, it wasn't Taco Bell's fault now, but the Starlink corn got into their tacos, and it wasn't approved for human consumption. I don't know if it is today or not. I can't tell you. Now, let's go back here and let's take a look at this. Starlink corn causes sterility in pigs. There's no doubt about that. 25 farmers using Starlink corn, genetically modified corn, experienced past tense. This isn't theoretical. They experienced past tense sterility in their hogs, in their pigs. Now, let me ask you the question. Could Starlink corn cause sterility in humans? Well, these clowns are going to say, well, see, that's not science. That's just by guess and by golly and a theory. But it does cause sterility in pigs, doesn't it? Don't you think that we should experiment a little bit more with the pigs before we start putting that into our tacos and experimenting on humans? Unless, of course, you wanted to reduce the human population by 90% over the next 50 years. I mean, if population reduction were your goal, and eugenics was a part of your policy, and you're a Republican or a Democrat, and you're in favor of it, because both Republicans and Democrats, both President Bush and President Clinton, are on record, and the Republican and Democratic parties are on record as promoting and supporting the biotech industry. Now, I would contend that this is not science. This is madness. Science, by definition, is something that you can repeat in the laboratory. It's something that we want called knowledge. I'm not sure that there's a lack of knowledge. I think that the biotech industry has plenty of knowledge, and that they're using it against us and not for us. Now, of course, they're telling us that we're using this so that we can develop insulin, so that we can treat you diabetics. So if you're diabetic, well, that sounds real good to me. I want something like that. I don't think that they're experimenting for the express purpose of producing insulin in plants for you diabetics. I think they're doing it with the express intention of sterilizing the human race and reducing the Earth's population by 90%. That means terminating you. That's what I think. Because that's where the evidence takes us. That's what we're seeing here. Now, I would suggest that Jesus is a pretty good authority on the subject matter, and he said, now listen, boys and girls, toward the end of this age, just before I come back, in Matthew 24. By the way, that's what Matthew 24 is aimed at. If you want to take a look at this, the Messiah is out here in Jerusalem, and his disciples come up to him and they say, "Hey, boss, tell us what things are going to be like just before you come back, or at the end of the age, at the end of the world." And he says, "Well, gather around, boys and girls, and let me tell you the story." So Matthew 24 is that story, and part of the story is he says there isn't going to be any flesh left alive on the planet. Now, I thought, you know, before I read this book, I thought that nuclear war was probably what he had in mind there with that statement. Now that after reading this book, I'm saying to myself, hey, wait a minute. Maybe there's a little bit more to this. Maybe what we're dealing with here are these transgenic mutations that we're going to set off a chain event over here that is going to change the plant and animal life on the planet so that it cannot reproduce like starlink corn and the pigs. I mean, you know, that's just my observation. Now, this guy, Sciola, also brought up another point. He said that before the flood, that it would appear that they were doing the same kind of transgenic mutation experimentation. Now, there's an old Greek myth, and this myth is, I think it's a goat. If it's not a goat, it's a horse, maybe, and a man. You take a look at this critter, whatever it is. And you've got this man. It's got arms, a head, and a torso that goes down into a horse's body. Have you ever seen a picture of that? And they're pretty common, you know. Kind of like a gargoyle, you know, on a Catholic church. I don't remember what the name of that critter is, but do you suppose that maybe before the flood they were experimenting with humans and animals and they came up with a hybrid crossbreed like that, a genetic mutation? Again, that's not evolution, it's creation. Pure and simple. Whether the creation is made by man in the laboratory or by God in the Garden of Eden, we're talking about creation, not evolution. It's an intended result. It's something that is thought out and planned by an intelligent mind and then carried to fruition. Creation. Not random chance. And this technology isn't random chance. It is intended. We're doing it on purpose. Now that's your Frankenstein returns. I think that's quite a chapter. Now, can we avoid eating these biotech foods? Now that you know a lot more about this radical science, you're probably wondering if there is any way to completely avoid eating foods manipulated with gene splicing technology. The answer is perhaps, but there's no guarantee. The problem is now so pervasive that to completely avoid GM foods, you'll have to drastically alter your present lifestyle. And although this is very difficult for many of you to do, thousands of Americans opposed to biotechnology are willing to make the necessary sacrifices to rid these engineered organisms from their diet. I want to pause right here and tell you I'm one of those. It isn't easy, but, you know, it isn't impossible. You have to put a little effort into it. Currently, organic foods are the only products required to be grown and packaged free of GMOs. All GMOs are strictly prohibited from ever being certified organic. All organic foods must meet stringent requirements and be certified by third-party organizations to have been grown according to industry standard guidelines. All right, so number one, you're looking for the word organic on the package. The downside to purchasing organic foods is that they're much more expensive and much harder to find. They're readily available in most health food stores. But very few supermarkets carry large supplies of organic foods. And though this is slowly changing, more than likely you will have to seek out supermarket after supermarket and look for alternatives if you wish to avoid GMOs completely. Unfortunately, due to the added cost of purchasing organic foods, many Americans can't afford to spend the extra money to buy them. Put a little pause right there. So, excuse me, boys and girls, but you're paying health insurance premiums, you're smoking Marlboro cigarettes, you're burning Exxon gasoline. You know, it's a matter of choice. Everybody has choices to make in life. And we all have a certain amount of money, and we spend our money in certain ways. You know, some people spend it on on cigarettes. Some people spend it on Jack Daniels. Other people spend it on gasoline. Other people spend it on airplanes, you know, and health insurance. When you decide that there's something important in life, you will come up with the money that you need to buy it, whether it's whiskey or cigarettes or it's a Carnival cruise. I mean, whatever it takes, you'll do it. And if you think that GMO foods are not very important, then you're not going to spend very much money avoiding them. If you think that it is important, you will find the money to spend on organic or non-GMO foods. It's just that simple. So to say, well, you know, give up and quit. The price is 50% higher. You can't spend more money. I can, and I do. I can solve the problem. And I have to drink less Jack Daniels. Now, organic food can cost an extra 50% or more compared to conventional foods, and not many people have a budget that allows them to spend this much money, more, or for what they eat, despite how convicted they are about the problem. This is sad, and this is why a grassroots effort is needed to correct the problem in all of our foods, not just to steer people toward organics. Boys and girls, you're not going to solve this problem. I mean, you can pack that one in. The people who are promoting biotech are doing it because of the profit motive. There's money to be made. And the people that are opposed to it don't have any profit motive. They're not making any money. And they're not going to spend nearly the time, effort, and energy opposing it as the people who are making money at it. Especially those that are paying bribes to the FDA scientists. And paying bribes to the congressmen. And bribes to the judges and the administration involved. That is, the president on down. That's not going to happen. No, it's time to grow up and get real. So since the government, the media, and the corporations all want it, you're going to get it. Whether you want it or not, it's irrelevant. So therefore, it's an individual choice that you and I are going to make down here at the grassroots level. Now, we can stir up a little hate and discontent. I'm not discouraging that. I like to have a little fun, you know, while you're doing it. While you're involved in the battle, you know, let's go have a good time. But the ultimate end to this is already written out in the scripture. You're going to have famine as a result of it, and you're going to have a time when all flesh on the planet's going to be destroyed because of it, unless something is done. And I think the guy that's going to do it is God himself. So until God acts, I don't think you and I are going to have a very significant impact. All right, I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here. We're about out of time, and that final reminder is that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.